It was at a barbecue for a few friends that the idea returned. It didn't come up for the first time. It was a refrain from year after year. Over time, I have shown that I know something about this subject, and so it was being brought up again to ask what I thought about it, and maybe even making a go at it. The idea, you see, was a hacker museum, a museum of hacking. What would that be? How could we do it? Where would we start? What steps would be taken to build an authentic, true hacking museum? And I told them some of my ideas off the top of my head and promised I'd write some sort of more elaborate overview about my thoughts, positive and negative, about this museum. Never quite got to it because I kept thinking about how many of these issues were completely universal, not just to a hacking museum, but to any sort of historical display that matters to a social subgroup but may not have more generalized interest. Well, it's found its endgame as a podcast episode. Let's talk about a hacking museum, why we need it, and why I don't think we're going to get it. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Jeff Atwood, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Let's start at the beginning. A museum. What even is a museum? There's certainly been lots of historical displays, collections of artifacts and mementos from various events, or representing someone's attempt to tell a story of an era or a people or a society through a variety of methods, whether they're dioramas artistically created to represent something that you wouldn't otherwise have been able to see, or collecting and displaying the actual pieces, the actual artifacts of the time being covered, so you can stare at them while a large paragraph next to the object gives you the context. As time has gone on, we've seen more use of interactivity, whether it's slideshows or visual loops with small documentary aspects, each of them intended in some space to give you a narrative, a tale, and then falling, cascading really, a whole bunch of separate external ideas about what this sort of presentation even means. So hacking, in this particular case, is simply the subject that was of interest to this group of friends. But I feel that it represents anything that isn't already covered by a more, say, generic or wide-ranging museum, a museum of history or a museum of science, a separate, specific thing presented for a purpose. But I often find people don't ask what that purpose is. Is it for people who went through the experience to relive the nostalgia of what they did? Is it to give a new generation excitement and awareness of what came before, either to engage in it themselves or to use it as a teaching moment to understand what used to be and then think about what could be? Is it a story told via these artifacts on the wall, where you walk from one end to the other, and by the end you feel you know things better? You knew about what happened, and you can draw your own conclusions. Or is it all of these? Is it an open invitation for whoever pays the $15.99, $13 if you're a member, to walk through a room and help keep the lights on? In the case of a hacking museum, these fundamental questions of purpose and existence, to me, are often overshadowed. If you're going to make a musical about a subject, before you even consider how easily that subject can become a musical, I think there's a fundamental question about why you're even doing a musical at all? Do you have a place you're going to hold it? Do you have people who exhibit a certain kind of talent for a musical, and so you want to tell a story via whatever you can find that matches with that group? Or is it something else entirely, even something worth doing? And that was the question I posed to my friends. What would a hacking museum serve? What even is hacking? It's been long enough that we've now pretty much ossified the narrative. The MIT Railroad Club that led to a bunch of like-minded people that then encountered computers that were being brought to MIT and became what we thought of as that kind of hacker. The pranksters of Stanford and the people associated with military and business who, in the night, or because they were too young outside in the night, found themselves drawn to a certain ethos about computers being open and accessible, and pulling together these ethics into a cobbled-together justification for being a certain way with technology and maybe life itself. You have the hacking as it's portrayed in popular culture of the 70s and 80s. You have the hackers as it's portrayed in the 90s and the 2000s. The rise of entrepreneurship being associated with hacking, the information security industry that absorbs hacking as its own, rebrands it, gives it a nice look, and then sells it to the highest bidder, be they some of the most evil or soulless organizations you could imagine. There are these basic threads of what we call hacking that are litigated constantly throughout all sorts of literature and newspaper articles and books. A museum, then, becomes, if not an arbiter, at least some sort of basic decision about what parts of the tales need to be told. Hacking, of course, does have physical artifacts. It's got computers and small bits of improvised electronics that could be displayed for their ingenuity and oddity as people try to achieve the dream of what they're doing in hardware and circuitry. In fact, the Computer History Museum in California has done some of this. The original blue box that was owned by Steve Wozniak, along with the Cyber Behemoth, which was a Stephen Roberts mobile computing bicycle, along with mainframes and computers that represent all of these different approaches to the technological industries and the people inside and outside of this acceptable realm of user interacting with them. In other words, I think a museum of hacking would have to be something else entirely. If you start to ask people what a museum of hacking would be, some of them want it to be a hacker conference museum, to have badges and pieces of electronics and mementos from various conferences, DEF CON, HOPE, TourCon, ShmooCon, things that represent those fun times, those assemblages. But are they of interest to people who weren't there? Is the European approach to hacking spaces that still exist to this day a better representation of the hacking spirit? Or is it going to be based on North America because of the ease in which you can get different artifacts out of homes and truck them to a central location? And that central location, what even is that? Are you going to find a building in some sort of area that is a static clubhouse of the people running it, where occasionally visitors come to visit, walk through, look at the exhibits, and leave? Or are you going to have it be a concern that makes these mobile displays that can go into shipping boxes and go to various events be revealed and placed in a hallway or a room, let people walk around, experience them firsthand, and then pack them up until the next stop on the tour? If none of this is something you would think of with a hacking museum, I'm not sure what you think it's going to be. My relationship to hacking has obviously changed over the years. As a young person using bulletin boards, all of the detritus of hacking books and Abby Hoffman writings felt like a world that was below the radar of the popular culture of the world that I was living in. It felt like I was dipping my head into a place that was secret and brilliant and wondrous, something that would accept me for who I was and fundamentally find great value in me. Over time, as I attended hacking conferences, you could see all different sorts of approaches to what people were doing. People who were thinking about this as some sort of related career move. People who were troublemakers or folks who lived a very controlled life with a family and a job. And this was their chance to let loose, to drink, mess around, cause trouble, and then sober up, get dressed, and go to work the next week. This colliding and clashing of what people thought hacking meant to them tells me that this is not just some basic set of steps required to achieve what they're looking for. Just the question, just the shared aspect of determining what would even be in a hacking museum, leaving alone the cost, leaving alone the logistics and the process and the real estate and the staffing and everything else. What would a hacking museum be? This is the question, the dark cloud that goes over the sunny idea of having one. Is it a glorification of a relatively small and privileged group of computer users from the 1980s? Or is it a staid and stately set of rooms coming from the 1960s and 70s, almost fully ancient history now in technology, for us to ooh and ah that something that was so big has been replaced by things so small? Is it something exciting about what has happened in the last 20 years, things involving technology and the entrepreneurship that has absolutely recreated the internet in its own image, an ad-filled blasting of random scams and social media misery, reheated and presented to us with newer and newer and newer branding? Where is all this? Where are we going with all of it? That, unfortunately, is the splash of cold water, the realistic view, the bright sunlight that shines down on the optimistic dream that there would be a museum for this way of life. What's my solution? It's not surprising to think that something like textfiles.com and the related sites that I try to mirror there are, frankly, one of the easier ways to get closer to a hacking museum. It doesn't cost much to run. It can acquire enormous amounts of digital materials and provide them to whoever wants to without the pain of travel and parking and meals and hotels. It allows folks to walk the stacks, and while I've not really gone out of my way over the years to make special exhibit rooms, little virtual sites that pull from my various stacks and present them to you with a narrative, it's pretty trivial to do. People have written blog entries citing different text files, citing different pieces of art and technology that are on the site. And I'm not holding a monopoly on this idea of a site that's digital that presents hacking history. This, honestly, represents to me where I think this can exist. Virtually, living among the very computers that fascinated us as youth, that turned the tables on senses of power and individuality and community spirit, for better or for worse. And while I absolutely never want to smash down anybody dreaming, hoping, and thinking out of what something could be, what their dreams could be, I would submit the dream is already here. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bigkoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, Martin, Sembiance, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I have no doubt out there that there are people listening who have something they wish they could make a display about. Can I tell you, use some HTML, write some essays about this thing you think is so important, link to photographs or sounds that represent the thing you care about, put it up on a page, a subsite, doesn't have to have its own domain, bring in your friends, have them comment, and before you know it, you're running a museum.